Actually, Pastor texted me earlier and said, you know, what was going on, that Rachel wasn't going to be here, and I dearly missed. But he said I could do a solo. So, Alan, if you would cue the music. The chord of O. Oh, no. You know what? There's no reason. You know, yes, we love. I mean, I can't say enough about our praise and worship at our church.
Amen.
I mean, I've been a lot of churches, a lot of Christian concerts, this or that. Yeah, it's good music. It's entertaining. But when you have folks that really want to worship God, there's nothing better.
Amen.
Because, you know, our pastors, they know how to just stay there.
Yeah.
And just continue in it and just draw on the presence of God.
Amen.
And so I'm so thankful for that. But hey, you don't have that tonight. but what I will say is, you know, there's no reason. I heard one minister say it like this. He said, worship is the highest form of prayer.
Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, we want to have mercy, worship. With chord, with music. But there's something about even, I know every one of you probably in here have that alone time where you don't have music, you don't have, you know, any of that. It's just worship comes from the heart.
Amen.
You know, and the word simply says, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. And so why don't we just take, y'all can just stay seated, that's fine. But let's just, you know, I was going to tell my kids, I know they're paying attention over there. You can just see it, can't you? but I know they grew up in church, like a lot of us did. And you really don't understand maybe reasons why we do things. You know, the Pentecostal church, they lift their hands, they run around, they do all this kind of stuff. But in the Psalms, it says, with lifted hands, you're lifting your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just want to take just a minute. Let's take 2 or 3 minutes. Let's just do that. Can we do that together?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Father. We just come to you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We just thank you for your presence. We worship you. We thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for saving me from a sinner's hell. Thank you for taking me out of my request. Setting me upon the rock of your salvation. Thank you for putting me in Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Making me a new creation. All the old things has passed away. All things are new in you. We just want to thank you for it. We worship you from our heart with lifted hands. Our hearts are open to receive the word of God tonight. We just thank you. And we praise you now. We praise your holy name. I tell you so, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives us all of my iniquities. Who heals all of my diseases. Who redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. That satisfies my mouth with good things. Who renews my youth like the eagle. Thank you, Father. Renewing our youth tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got to grow up, but we don't have to grow old. I thank you that our youth is renewed tonight. Thank you, Lord. You said you heal all of our diseases. All of them. I thank you, Father, for everyone in here that has aches and pains and, you know, dimming eyes and hurting knees and blood pressure and all this other stuff. You've healed it all. You're renewing our strength. You did it for Moses. You did it for an older covenant. You're doing it now in us this day. The new covenant is greater, it's better, and we just thank you for it.
Amen.
We just thank you, Father. And I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you just need to laugh a little bit. I'm serious. A glad heart doeth it like a medicine. I was meditating on this earlier, and the Father, He sits in heaven, and He laughs. But what's so good about that is we've been made to sit together with Him. We are sitting right next to Him. And sometimes we just need to go ahead and laugh along with Him. You know, what does it say? He says that He has made our enemies our footstool. You know, you just need to take off your stinking shoes and your socks and put it on the neck of the devil where he's your footstool and say, you're still under my feet. We still have authority over you. We are the healed of God. And this is where I'm going to rest. And just laughing at the devil. Laughing at the enemies. Trying to put junk on us. No, He's renewing our strength tonight. Amen. Praise God. You know, He is so good.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Always.
All right. I'm going to let y'all out early. That's what my wife told me to do. Give y'all enough time to maybe fellowship and cut up a little bit. But I do have a good word that the Lord just, He keeps dealing with me. And I'm so glad He does. You know, He does it, the conviction of the Holy Ghost is not condemnation. Conviction is, I have a better way. Condemning is, you're never good enough. You're not going to, you know, you'll never do it. You'll never change. You'll never do this, whatever. But the conviction, sweet conviction of the Holy Ghost said, man, I've got a better way. I could do more. I have better days. I have better things for you to do. And so, let me start off this way. Have you ever heard of the little boy at Vacation Bible School? He won the most humble ribbon prize. You know, his mama was so proud. But, you know, he didn't have it one day until they had to take it from him. Because he proudly wore it. Another dad joke. But look. She got it.
But,
but it's the thought of, I'm humble and I know it. You know, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, and it's wild, you know. You can have pride in your own humility,
and it
creeps in everybody's life. You know, I heard a minister say this, and I agree with it completely. He says, "Pride is the nature of the flesh. Your flesh." What wants what it wants, do what it will do, step on anybody, it's all about self. But humility, root, is motivation, is love. So, most people don't consider themselves proud or even vulnerable or proud, you know? Yet, this is one of the major categories of sin the Bible says is in each of our hearts or each way that we all deal with. So, you know, Pastor said just the other day, I think it was maybe last Wednesday or two ago, he said the original sin is not Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
The iniquity was found in Lucifer.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was pride. Yeah. And pride is simply exalting yourself or bringing yourself over and above and having an inflated, you know, self-image or you know, I'm better or this, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, That's not our Savior. So we gotta know, we gotta love what God loves and hate what God hates. Mm-hmm. You know, pride is the first sin and the most serious sin. Pride is our greatest enemy, greatest problem. So God hates pride. We must learn to hate what God hates and love what God loves. How much do you hate pride? You know, more than I see this, yes, I hate pride. I see what it's done, the selfishness of it, what it's done in marriages, what it's done in families. I've seen what it does in churches. And I can't stand it worse more than anything when I see it in myself. And so this is, we're going to get into some humility. Lord help me. So Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. He says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But when humility comes, wisdom. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Man, that sounds tough. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. God is not out to hurt your pride. He's out to kill your pride. like Pastor said, he fired the devil immediately and he fell like lightning. Pride is serious. It's a serious thing. You know, God is opposed to the proud. You don't want God to be your opponent. No. You know, when you read these scriptures, you know, God resists the proud. And we know God is love, and you just see, could God resist, or could his love, you know, how could he resist? You know, his love is so great, so awesome, never fails. It is wonderful, but he resists, he opposes pride. And it's like, my goodness, I don't want to have any of that in me. So, here we go. James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If y'all want to go over to 1 Peter 5:5. Look, humility is critical, of utmost importance to receiving God's grace. Being proud won't get any God's grace.
Yeah.
Who gets the grace? The humble.
Yeah.
We're going to say that several times tonight. We'll read that here in just a second. I want to say that Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Mm-hmm. You know, are you lowering yourself? Are you raising yourself? The way in the kingdom, it's totally reverse of the way the kingdom of this world, the way that the world does things. The way up in the kingdom is the way down. It's completely opposite of the world. Humble yourself and you will be exalted. Exalt yourself and you will be humbled. You know, it's that easy. When you lift or exalt yourself, you are lowered. But when you lower yourself, he lifts and exalts you. I mean, it's that simple of a truth, but we all deal with it. If the nature of our flesh and much of our mind is at enmity with God, our flesh wants what it wants, and it's the nature of our flesh is pride. Well, we got to recognize it. Well, we got to deal with it. You know, I want humility. I believe the new creature in Christ Jesus has that nature of Christ himself. What is his nature? Humility. You just read Philippians 2 and you see humbled as a servant. He humbles and made himself of no reputation. Over and over and over he humbled himself. That was his nature. But when we got in Christ, we got that same nature.
Amen.
It's in here. So let's get it out. So let's see. Yes, 1 Peter 5:5. I'm just going to do King James. He's been talking about the older, the leaders, the elders, the pastors. He's been talking to Peter in chapter 5. And then he says in verse 5, likewise, you younger, as younger folks, submit yourselves unto your elders. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. You know, true submission isn't really unto you go ahead and submit when you disagree. When you don't even agree completely, that's when you submit. I'm submitting. I may think I have the better idea, or I may think I'm right in this area, but true submission is when I don't agree, I go ahead and submit. And who am I doing it as unto? I'm going to do this unto you. So that's what we do. And so, younger, we submit unto our elders. And it says, all of you. Yeah, all of you. So it's saying now, all of us, young and old, all of us be subject to one another and be clothed with humility.
Amen.
For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
Who does God give grace to?
Man,
I think, yes, the grace of God is the unmerited favor of God. We've heard all kind of these definitions, but I just think it's so much greater than we can describe, so much more than what we see. We know it's gifts. We know it's grace. We know it's favor. We know it's strength. We know it's wisdom. We know it's impartation. We know it's anointing. We know it's the glory of God. All of these things are within humbling yourself.
Amen.
So, it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty thumb of God. Oh, wait, is that what it says?
No.
It's sad. So many people believe that's where God is. He wants to put his thumb. No. Under the mighty hand of God. If you look off the New Old Testament, you'll see where God put his hand. He put his hand on David. I like to think of it under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
So when you humble yourself, you're getting this grace of protection. This grace of peace in this crazy world. Because now I put myself under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Not under some, no. So many times, you know, we've been in here worshiping. And a little one there. I have my hand on his head, and the Father just tells me, you're my boy.
Amen.
And he said, I have my hand on you.
Yes.
And every time you humble yourself,
yes,
my hand's on you. His favor is upon you. His peace is upon you. He's the anointing of God is upon you, because I put myself under his hand, his mighty hand.
Amen.
I can't remember, and I think it's Isaiah, that the arm of God created the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the mighty hand of God. Just think of, I got it. He touched my head. But just like a David, he anointed my head with oil.
Yeah,
you know, when no one else counted David out.
Yes.
Samuel the prophet. The oil came out.
Yeah.
It's poured upon. So this putting yourself under that mighty hand of God is worth it.
Amen.
It's so worth it.
Amen.
What is he? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this is kind of what the gist of everything tonight is, if we can kind of get out of the gear of Lord help me. Grudgingly thinking, oh God, I gotta humble myself again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to think, you know what? I know grace is coming.
Man.
As soon as I get under his hand, as soon as I humble myself in this area, I'm gonna get more grace.
Yeah.
It's changing the way we think that, you know what? It's exactly what Jesus did. He walked in grace and the favor of God. Why? Because of this humility that he walked in. And so tonight I just pray that we have a mind switch of, oh God, you really want me to do that? Or you want me to submit to that? Or you want me to lower myself and take your word over my own? That's what meekness means. Yes, he said, yeah. Look, anybody in the Bible that was used of God by God over and over and over again walked in humility. Think about Moses. Yeah, he was a rascal. But his whole life is documented. You know, when he was 80 years old, you started to see him follow the call of God. He drew near to the flame.
Yeah.
He drew near to it. And then he started obeying God, started humbling his whole life. And over, you see people that are used by God that walk in humility. You know, I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. I mean, I'm not degrading like Gideon. He's a mighty man of valor. But what about the rest of his life?
Yeah.
Don't we want to go from glory to glory to glory and not just have, oh, they had one prayer answer in life. That's awesome. But I want to keep being anointed by God.
Yes.
I want to keep experiencing his glory.
Yes.
Don't we all? I mean,
yes. Yes.
You want to go to the mission field again and experience the wonders and signs and wonders of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Amen. All right. Okay. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. You lower yourself, he lifts you up.
Yes.
Exalt you in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a comma there. The sentence keeps on going. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be, all of us, some things we hold on so tight, the cares. A lot of times our families, our loved ones, you hold on, the anxieties, the worries, the fret, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
But he's saying, can you humble? Can you humble even those things? Can you let them down? Can you lower them? He's saying, can you cast all your cares? You're not made to carry it. You're not made to carry it. He's the one that carries it. He carried it all. Amen? Because he affectionately cares for you.
Amen.
So we can say, all right, I'm humbling my opinions, my attitudes, my stress, my worries, all this junk. And I say, all right, Lord, I'm giving it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm casting my cares upon you.
Yes.
I'm not going to pick it up on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime it comes up, I say, Lord, I've given this to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of humility. But aren't part of the lower one. All right, so the story that God gave me, and I love this, is let's go to 2 Kings 5. And to see kind of how pride works, and Naaman's no different from us. You know, sometimes we just have in awe of the Old Testament saints and Israel and, you know, all the stuff they did. Hey, sometimes we went the same way. You know. But I love this. It's so cool, too, how you can see this. God takes and heals a Gentile. A foreigner. Not in the Israel family. In their covenant. And all through the Old Testament, what about Rahab? Brought her in. I love that story. I love the story of Rahab. It's like I'm accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
I am hidden in Christ. If you look at it through the eyes of redemption, you see how God hid her and brought her right into the family of God.
Amen.
When she was a foreigner, an outcast, even a harlot. And so much so, he brought her to the family that she was David's great, 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 great grandma.
Yeah.
In the lineage of Jesus himself.
Yeah.
I love it. But 2 Kings 5. This is sometimes how our pride can work. It's through our mind, our questioning. It always wants to come up with a question, you know. And your flesh resisting. Doesn't want to do this lowering that we're talking about. Lowering ourselves. So, verse 1, I'm going to read pretty quick. I'm in New King James in this one.
Oh, man, you're good.
Let me find the New King James.
All right, cool.
New King James.
All right, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So, I want to just throw this out there. We have to be careful even with our successes. Even if we have successes in God, success in God, you know, in all these areas, if we're not careful, we will hold that as pride in itself. And you'll see here in a second. But he was a leper. He was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He had the most highest degree of warrior, let's say secretary of defense, honorable man in war, but he had the most disgraceful disease. You know? And so I've heard it say like leprosy is like sin. It just eats away. Just eats away. So, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. Here, let me read you this. I thought this was really good. Here, just real quick, this is a little tidbit and help Pastor put us in these tidbits of history and stuff. Five classes of servants are in this chapter. The king's servant, Naaman. The household servant, the maid. Jehovah's servant, the prophet. Naaman's servant, the prophet's servant. So you look at that, we can only serve one master. Amen?
Amen.
So, just a little side bit. So, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought, okay, she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus, the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. It gets kind of funny here. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 chains of clothing. So this dude, you know, this is just shekels and all this kind of stuff. The real value of all this, looked up, was the silver was around $75,000. The gold was $1.2 million worth of dollars. So he had a little success. He had a little bling with him, you know. So you're looking at $1,275,000 that he was bringing with him. So that will mess with it. But anyway, Naaman went in and told his master, saying, okay, so he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And the unrighteous king of not Judah, or Israel here. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? He's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And he forgot about Elisha. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman, so you got to see this entourage. Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. I think of, you know, a high-ranking official. All the Suburbans pull up. Whoop, you know, they all, three or four of them, they all stop out. The Secret Service guys step up. The eagle has landed, you know. This guy, he is honored that way. And so what is he's expecting is, you'll see here it says, come out to me. But God is so smart. You know, he is so smart. You can see him all through this, like, oh, you want that, don't you? So he comes to the door of Elisha. And what is God so smart? He just sends out Elisha's servant. And Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But here we go. The mind. Actually, a prideful mind. Right? Here we go. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. So he already had a preconceived idea. And why didn't he only send me this little messenger out? Why didn't he come out to me? Don't he know who I am? Doesn't he know who he's talking to? Does he know how much money I got in this chariot? No. God is so smart. And so he's thinking, he's going to wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. All out in spectacular motion. All in the open for everyone to see. You know, your thoughts of pride, so everyone can see me. And then he says, here's his questions. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? This old muddy water. That's what he's saying. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. And his servants, I love this. This right here, I kind of think it's maybe the maid herself. Because watch what they say. And his servants came near and spoke to him, said, my father. So it was an endearing servant. Could have been the girl that said, hey, I want to go on this trip because I want to see him healed. Uh-oh, he's acting. He's about to lose it. He's about to lose his mind. We all might get killed around here, you know? So she says, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, great for everyone to see, wouldn't you have done it? So prophet had done something great. Would you have not done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? So, the great thing out in the open, or the little thing by yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I want to stay there just for a second. The Lord is calling all of us in the little things.
Yeah.
In the secret things.
Yes.
In our time alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times I'm just like every other guy, you get home from work, I just want to sit on the couch and not think the rest of the night. I'll go put me in the water so I can fish and I'll be refreshed. But how many times has the Father in the little times start begging you? Come on, come talk to me. He said a little thing about a year ago. Come to me. Listen to me, or come to me, talk to me, listen to me. Just something simple. He just wants fellowship with you. Doesn't he? I know everyone in here, he's always wanting more of you. He wants more of us. He says, I know if I could get more of their time, if they will humble that little area, that little unseen place, that closet, that wherever, that time to drive, if they can just humble that time and give it to me, I will give them more grace.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So it's the little things. So, he says, could I not wash the garment of my right there? Okay, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then the little things? When he says to you, wash and be clean, I want to go back just 1 second. Come on. I want to see the King James. Sometimes the King James says it like it needs to be said. Oh, please. Oh, there it is. Oh, can you have that?
Yep.
Go to...
Is it verse 13?
Yeah. Sorry, y'all. Hold on. Oh, verse 11. So, but Naaman was wroth and went away and sat and said, behold, I thought. That doesn't say it the same way you are on the King James, but I thought. You keep your thoughts, you keep your leprosy. That's rough, but But how many times our pride will try to rise up and question? No, I have a better way. I know of a better river. I have better ideas. Let me do it my way. My will, my way. And God said, no, you got to go get in that dirty river. So, keep your thoughts, keep your leprosy. But if you lower your thoughts and do now the simple thing, the easy thing, wash and be clean. Amen? So he went down. I love this part. The Word of God is something wonderful when you take the Word of the Lord over your own.
Yes.
And simply obey. Yes. Yeah. Just simply obey. So he went down. I like to think about this event that's going on. I'm not doing better. So he went down. He was simply obeying. I think, you know, he was in the best get up. The medals, the most prestigious. He brought extra changes of clothes. He was in the best duds. Isn't that fair?
Yeah.
So he was in there. So I like to think of it like, did he take it off? Take off that garment? Or did he just say, forget it, I'm going to get it all dirty? Why do I ask that? Because think of David, King David, when he finally got Ark of the Covenant. Thank you, David. That one. When he finally got it, he tried it his way and it didn't work. He put on a new cart and didn't do it God's way, But when he finally got it there, it says he danced before the Lord with all his might and his kingly robe. He took it off. He danced it off. So what am I saying is, all your accolades, your title, your awards, all that stuff don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It don't mean a hill of beans to him.
Yeah.
I think of the beggar, Bartholomew, the blind man, on the side of the road. He cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, be quiet. And then he had another crowd, and he cried out even the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And a crowd like ours, come on, he's calling you. Come on, he's calling you. Come on, he's calling you. And what did he do? He took off the beggar's.
Yes.
The beggar's coat. So beggar or king,
yes.
Your old identity or whatever that is, is all naked before God. James says it. You don't mean a thing. So I like to think, you know what? I got all this gear on. Yeah, I can take it off, but it's going to get muddy. You know what? I can take it off or whatever, but I'm going to go ahead and dip on in and get it all muddy. So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan. Can you imagine just dipping all the way in? I love tubing, riding the tubes. I love the river. But just thinking of this guy, the prestigious, this man that almost missed it by pride. Almost missed it. Oh, my goodness, Lord, thank you for reminding me. The servant. The servant man. I want to tell you, this is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What is that still small voice?
Yes.
Can you see that just still small voice come up to him and say, "Oh, Father, through the bid you to do a great thing. And you've done it." And how many times does the Holy Ghost come in our life and just say, and just say, "Just do the little thing. Just the little thing." The unrecognized, the hidden little thing. And I don't know, the Lord just reminded me of this. What about the little thing? The little thing that can defile the whole body or steer your whole life. The little thing, like the bits in the mouth of a horse that's hardly ever seen. What about the rudder on a ship that could turn that ship to go across the oceans? It's not seen, but God wants to deal with the little things. Even the words we say, say, "All right, Lord, help me lower or shut my mouth when I need to have a humble mouth." Because out of it is either life or death.
Yes.
Blessing or cursing is in the power of the tongue. So even in these little things. So I just love the picture of the Holy Ghost. He's so kind. He's so, "Hey, if you go that route, it's not going to be good. But if you just simply, just go pray. Just go pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit. Don't say what you're about to say to your spouse. Just be quiet." Hallelujah. Or even, what's the last time you said, "I missed it"? I had to say it to Luke the other day. Because we were arguing about this day and this time. And I'm always right, right? You know, Dad's always right. Even when I'm wrong, I'm right, right? But I remembered. I looked at the dates. And I said later on when I prayed with him for bed, I said, "Hey, I missed it. I looked it up. I was wrong." You know? And then just the little things. It's just the little things. He's dealing with all of us. I know that. All right. Last part. And how much more when he says to you, "Wash and be clean"? So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I love that. Like a little baby. A little child. When you humble yourself, there's something wonderful that God can do. He can cleanse away all the junk. There's nothing more innocent, nothing more pure, nothing more blameless than a baby or a child. And God can do that in an instant as you humble yourself. He can cleanse it all away. Make you fresh, smelling good, not stinking. But like a little child, he was made clean. I love that. So, I don't know how to close this. But you know, again, if we can recognize when these thoughts come against or try to rise above, you know what it says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, it says, take every thought captive.
That's right.
That rises up or it tries to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. All these little thoughts that try to exalt itself over the Word of God or the Word of the Lord to you and tries to exalt itself. And when you recognize and say, wait, what does he ask me to do? It's just something simple. Wash and be clean. Go pray. Go hear the word. Don't forsake the assembly of yourself together, the church. As a, you know, even more so as the day grows. My goodness, you know. Should we be in church every night? You know, but really, so I just want to say, Lord, help me just close this out. If we just know, recognize the thoughts that come against, or our flesh that tries to resist, I am this. I've had success. I have done it this way. You know, bless God, I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to get it in. I thought it was so interesting. I know y'all were here when Audrey Mack spoke. And she spoke on God's healing. Amen. And his path of healing for all of us. But I thought it was so wonderful saying that, yes, God does not change, but he doesn't hardly do the same thing in our life.
Amen.
The same. Mm-hmm. Twice. So your path of healing, that you may have got success or got your healing in one area, but now he's saying, okay, humble in this area. Mm-hmm. I know I'm speaking to somebody. But I just thought it was so interesting to say, you know what? He doesn't change, but I need to. You know what I mean? So, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just thank you for your word, that your word is alive, that it is powerful. It's active, it's mighty, it's cutting away any junk, any pride that tries to rise up and question the word of the Lord, tries to question and make myself of great importance, and tries to resist the simple truths, the simple word of God, that what you're telling us to do. I just thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father. Y'all, I can just hear it like this. And every time you humble, in your humbling, in your lowering, is your healing. In your humbling, in your healing, is your increase. In your humbling, is that peace that you need. In your humbling, is that favor, that promotion that you so desire. It's all wrapped up in his grace. And it's all to those that, who gets the grace?
The humble.
The humble. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Oh, 10 minutes early, Audrey. Got one good amen. Woo! Hey, love y'all. But look, just think, if all of us, and I know, hey, I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are here. Y'all are serving the Lord, but I know every one of you is dealing with each one of us in our own lives. But what happens if we all humble ourselves in our own lives? How much more would the grace and the glory of God show up in our church, in our worship, wherever we go? We need to be just like him. And that's what we really want.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen